My name is Anthony, and I'm an addict. And I'd like to thank everybody for being here, and you know, just like to thank God for having me here. You know, I'm real happy about this weekend, man. I come down here every year, and a lot of times I stay to myself. And last year we came and I was with my friends, and they wanted to go out, and I told them, take me to the convention and whatnot. I want to go over there. But they was like, nah, I want you to be with us and whatnot. They didn't want to leave me alone, you know, because of my condition. But I said, nah, I'm all right. It's going to be all the people over there, all the people I know. They're going to take care of me. But they said, man, they don't take care of you when you're at home. That's the honest to God truth, you know? So I was like, okay. So I stayed in the room the whole weekend, you know? But I said, this year, I told them when we got back, I said, man, next year, I'm going to the convention. I want y'all to take me over there and whatnot. I said, I'll be all right. And that's what happened. They dropped me off. And I made out all right. I had the best day yesterday, man. You know, the best day, for real. And, you know, I've been coming. My clean date is May 10th, 2003. Wow. You know, and I've been coming down here. I've been in and out of the program since 1988. My first clean date was November 1st, 1988. And I stayed around here for 7 years. I did everything y'all told me to do. I had a sponsor. I was in service. I did everything, you know, except y'all told me about the relationship piece, right? And when I had two years, I got married and whatnot. And I said I'll talk to my sponsor about everything, but my wife, I can handle that part. And you know, we was talking about my topic is faith, right? And I was thinking about it, and I said, man, coming up, my mother raised us and whatnot, raised three kids, and on Sunday we went to a building, and that was our, you know, we practiced a certain religion, and started building on my faith as a kid. And whatnot, and that faith, I always had faith and whatnot, but kind of like when I got in about 13, I kind of started doing my own thing, and I started drinking, and I used drugs, and by the time I was like 15, I was doing some IV drug use and stuff because of the friends that I had, the older guys and stuff, and that's what they did in my neighborhood. I grew up on a farm. Most of y'all on the east might be in D.C. might know about this farm over in Southeast. very farm. And on that farm, they had a lot of, you know, guys and whatnot that hung around down by the store, and they leaned up against the poles, man, and they just nodded all day long. You know, that's what a lot of my predecessors did. You know, so when I came up and I got into that thing, man, I did what I did and I got what I got. You know, but I always had faith. You know, really, I really did. I had faith in them. When they told me that just take this pack right here, this gonna do this to you. I took it and I ain't asked nobody else. I took it and I did what I did. And most of the time it did what it was supposed to do. You know, whatever they told me, I had faith in whatever they told me. You know, I'm telling you, I've tried everything under the sun. If you tell me that it's going to get me a certain place, I will try. You know, even as a teenager. And so I did a lot of stuff, you know. And I've been in juvenile treatment centers and whatnot because they knew I had a problem. Even when I was like 15, they knew I had a problem. They tried to get me into some programs and you know, try to help me and whatnot. And I always thought that I could just stop it. I'm just having a bad, I'm having a bad run of luck. My ship won't come in and I'm gonna be okay. You know? And my ship never rolled in. You know, it kind of came in though. It kind of came in. And when I was 14, I made a baby. And what happened was my son's mother was in the hospital, and they said we were both 14, so they said that that she needed to get some rest. So they gave her sleeping pills and they killed the baby. So I was 14 then. And by the time I was 20, 21, I had a lump sum. I had over 500 some thousand. My son's mother had over 500 some thousand, and the lawyer got a third. He had about 500 some thousand. You know, so I said, I'm all right. You know, I'm okay. I'm gonna make up for all lost time. And that money lasted about 3 years. And I did everything under the sun. Bought a lot of stuff. Had a lot of friends. When that money was gone, I was back on the street. And my friends was gone. All of that stuff that I had was gone and whatnot. You know, when I went into treatment, I told you in '88, I had two pair of sweatpants on. It was wintertime. I had two pair of sweatpants on. I had no underwear on. I had two shirts on. I had sold my coat and whatnot. I had a coat that I paid like $700 for. I sold it to the dude for like three $10 joints. I sold it to him in the middle of winter and whatnot, because I had to get the next one and whatnot. And then I watched the police 2 days later, after I sold it to him, rip the coat off of him and then cut the coat up and whatnot, because he was looking for the dope that was in the coat. You know, so I watched all of that, and I remember going into treatment with just the clothes that I had on my back. I ain't had no underwear on, and my pants was cut from, torn from the middle on one side of the pants all the way around my crouch, all the way to the other side. So I had to sit with my legs closed. Everywhere I went, I had to sit with my legs closed, because if I didn't, my genitalia was going to be out. You know? And when I went into treatment, I knew I needed some help, and I was open for anything, and I did what y'all told me to do back then, you know. And I stayed clean for 7 years, and I told y'all that I got married, and my wife and me, we were separated, and she told me to meet her at this club, and I met her downtown at this club called a Rich Nightclub. And I went down there, and I ordered a club soda, and she ordered Black Russian or something. And I told the bartender, what did you say? And he told me, I said, fuck that, give me what she got. And I threw away 7 years. And I stayed out for about a year or so. And I came back. And when I came back, because I knew where I could get the help at, y'all was right here. And so I came back, and I got 3 years. And I found it necessary to drink again. You know, and when I drank, I smoked PCP. You know, and so I stayed out there some more years, and then I came back in May of 2003. And when I came back this time, they told me, when I came back, I was talking to one of my friends that had been here for, you know, over 20 years. I said, man, I don't know how I'm going to stop using down here where I'm living at, down Arthur Capers, and they, right out back of the house, they sold PCP. I said, man, I don't know how I'm going to stop using. And he told me, where are they? I said, they're out back of the house. He said, don't go out back. because I listened to what he said and I took the suggestion, I'm here today, right? But along this journey, you know, some stuff done happened. You know, my sister, when I came in '88, my sister came in the program too. So my sister never went back out. She stayed in and she kept doing what she was doing no matter what. You know, she was on dialysis. She lost her sight and stuff, and I watched her and whatnot. And I was in good condition at that time, you know, so I saw all of this and whatnot. And what happened was, 2005, my sister died. right? And I always said that if my sister died, I'm going to. You know, I wanted to die too. She was a year younger than me. And so what happened was y'all stood around me and y'all gathered around me and whatnot and told me that no matter what, I don't have to use. And I went to a meeting that she passed on July the 5th, 2005. And that morning, I went to a meeting, 7 o'clock meeting, and I told them my sister died last night and I don't know what to do. And they said, okay, and they helped me and whatnot. And y'all, and the people in the program was the ones who wrote my sister's obituary. Y'all did it, because y'all got to know her, you know. And my faith, man, has been growing so much, man. You know, just watching stuff go on in my life and around me and stuff, right? This guy that was sponsoring me back when I had like a year or two, I told them when we was writing some steps and doing some step work and stuff, I told them about my faith. I said, man, he said, fear is a lack of faith. And I said, well, what do I have to do? How do I build my faith? And he was telling me some stuff and right now and whatnot. He said, man, you got to practice every day. And I was like, okay, got to practice this every day. He said, you know how you be brushing your hair and you be, you know, getting your waves? He said, you got to do that every day. He said, you got to practice that every day. And I was like, okay. So that's what I do, man. I practice, you know, believing in y'all every day and believing in this power that continues to help me every day. You know, he helps me every day. You know, in 2007, I lost my sight. No, 2007, I went on dialysis and whatnot. I knew what to do because I watched my sister go through it. You know, so next thing I know, I went to an anniversary and they gave me something to read. And when they gave me the card to read it, I couldn't see it. But I had drove to the meeting. So I couldn't see it, right? And I passed the card back to somebody and I told them, I said, no, somebody else can read this. I didn't want to tell y'all, right? But I started crying. And I started crying and I knew something was going down. And what I did was I couldn't see that car, but I could see that big light in front of me, that big green light and the red light. So I drove home that day. Yeah, I took a chance and I drove home and whatnot. I wound up going to the doctor and they told me that I was going to lose my vision. And they did some surgery and I could see fingers at first. This guy did the surgery. I had faith in him. And they told me it's a 50-50 chance. I said, man, I'm okay. And they did the surgery and I couldn't see a thing. And I was like, wow. So I just been keeping it moving ever since. What I do is I go to meetings every day. I try to make a meeting every day. You know, even whatever's going on, I go to dialysis Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. I go to a meeting the same day. You know, on a Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I find some meetings that I can hit and whatnot. And then they come up with some new stuff. They have these phone line teleconference meetings. So now, when I don't get to go out, I get on the phone. And now because I got on the phone, I done met some people all over the place. You know, I'm talking to people in Hawaii, in New York, in Philly, and everywhere. Idaho. I got a good friend, man, that I met and lives in Idaho. Him and his wife, they're my predecessors. They got over 30 years, you know. And I talk to these people, man, and y'all help me every time, man. Every time, man. So, you know, my faith, man, is definitely growing every day, man. I have faith in y'all. You know, yesterday I went out. I stepped out on my faith yesterday because I told you I've been down here before by myself and I never even came out and introduced myself to not one person. I've been down here before and stayed down here the whole weekend and never met not one new person. But not yesterday. Not yesterday. Yesterday, I got some numbers. Today, I got some numbers. Yeah, because I need y'all, man. I need y'all, man. Because, see, I still got dreams. I still want to do some stuff. I've been telling people, man, I want to ride a bike again. Yeah, I do. And I'm getting ready to get one. You know, I've been thinking about it. They got these bikes that have two seats on it, two handlebars. I just need somebody to ride me around. That's God truth, and I want to do something, man. I still got some places I want to go. You know, they talking about these different places and stuff. I still want to go. I can't see, but I still want to go. You know, because there's some new people to meet. There's some people out there that, you know, that I want to meet. And when me and my friends, we was talking yesterday at the house, and he said next year that he's coming down here with his wife, right? I'm not dating. I'm not even dating. I said next year I'm coming down here with my wife too. Because I have faith. I have faith. You know when people be saying stuff like this, they say they ain't putting it out here like that. I am putting it out here. Because I don't want to leave this earth by myself. You know, I don't. So I pray and I try to help somebody with no strings attached. Me, I still try to help people. Ain't that something? Sometimes people have more faith in me than I have in myself sometimes. Because when they asked me about this meeting, and I was like, you sure? I was thinking to myself, are you sure you want me to do it? And they asked me, how many times have I done the workshops? I was like, I've never done a workshop. I said, I've been coming around all these years, but I've never done a workshop down here in Ocean City. I said, I guess it's my time. Yeah. You know, I called my sponsor, and he told me, he said, man, you're going to do a good job. I said, okay. I was like, for real? That's what I'm thinking to myself. I ain't tell him. You know, but, man, I thank y'all for being here for me. You know, I just thank God for everything, man. You know, because my life, man, it's not over. It's not over, man. I got a lot of life to live. And you know, I know my faith and the power that I believe in. The power that I believe in, man, is going to take me a long ways. Yesterday, I was sitting down in that hallway down there, and the lady, I was supposed to be going Monday to the hospital. They're going to do some testing and stuff on me, trying to get me a new kidney. I'm trying to get a kidney. I'm trying to get on the list. And the lady called me yesterday while I was downstairs and told me Monday, she said, Monday when you come in, she asked me why hadn't I tried it yet before. I said, I did. I said, I tried to get on, but they told me that that because I was blind, that they didn't see how I was going to be able to take the medication. I said, well, I have help. I have my brother live with me. My cousin live with me. I have an aide. And they said, what if the aide is not there? What if they're not there? And it kind of shot me down, and I kind of felt down about that. But, okay, so now I'm getting ready to try again. You know, so I go Monday, and I'm going to do the testing and stuff. And I got a good feeling this time. I really do. You know, I really do have a good feeling about this, man. So, you know, I think, is that time? Is that it? Okay. All right, well. But I just like to thank everybody, you know, thank everybody for being there for me, you know, and I'm going to keep coming back. Thank you.